After an interim arrangement with Professor M.G.K. Menon at the helm, Professor Satish Dhawan was given the responsibility of heading the Indian Space Research Organization, ISRO. The whole complex at Tumba was merged together to form an integrated space center and christened the Vikram Sarabhai Space Center, VSSC, as a tribute to the man to whom it owed its existence. The renowned metallurgist Dr. Brahm Prakash took over as its first director. Anyone who has taken up the responsibility to lead a team can be successful only if he is sufficiently independent, powerful, and influential in his own right to become a person to reckon with. This is perhaps also the path to individual satisfaction in life, for freedom with responsibility is the only sound basis for personal happiness. What can one do to strengthen personal freedom? I would like to share with you two techniques I adopt in this regard. First, by building your own education and skills. Knowledge is a tangible asset, quite often the most important tool in your work. The more up-to-date the knowledge you possess, the freer you are. Knowledge cannot be taken away from anyone except by obsolescence. A leader can only be free to lead his team if he keeps abreast of all that is happening around him in real time. To be a successful team leader, one has to stay back after the din and clutter of a working day to emerge better equipped and ready to face a new day. The second way is to develop a passion for personal responsibility. The sovereign way to personal freedom is to help determine the forces that determine you. Work for the things you believe in. If you do not, you are surrendering your fate to others. The first 3 years of the SLV project was the period for the revelation of many fascinating mysteries of science. Gradually, I became aware of the difference between science and technology, between research and development. Science is inherently open-ended and exploratory. Development is a closed loop. Mistakes are imperative in development and are made every day. But each mistake is used for modification, upgradation, or betterment. Like any other act of creation, the creation of the SLV-3 also had its painful moments. One day, when my team and I were totally engrossed in our work, the news of a death in the family reached me. My brother-in-law and mentor, Janab Ahmad Jalaluddin, was no more. For a couple of minutes, I was immobilized. When I could focus on my surroundings once more, I realized that with Jalaluddin, a part of me had passed away. Travelling overnight in a combination of district buses, I reached Rameshwaram only the next day. I had no words for Zohra or for my niece Mehboob, both of whom were crying uncontrollably. I had no tears to shed. For many days back in Tumba, I felt a sense of futility I had never known before about everything I was doing. I had long talks with Professor Dhawan. He told me that my progress on the SLV project would bring me solace. The confusion would first lessen and would later pass away altogether. In 1976, my father, Jainul Abdin, who had lived on Rameshwaram Island for 102 years, passed away, leaving behind 15 grandchildren and one great-grandson. In worldly terms, it was the death of just another old man. No public mourning was organized. No flags were lowered to half-mast. No newspaper carried an obituary for him. He was not a politician, a scholar, or a businessman. He was a plain and transparent man. His life inspired the growth of all that was benign and angelic, wise and noble. I sat for a long time with my mother, but could not speak. She blessed me in a choked voice when I took leave of her to return to Tumba. The SLV-3 Apogee rocket, scheduled to be flight tested in France, was mired with problems. I had to rush to France to sort them out. Before I could depart, I was informed that my mother had passed away. With three deaths in the family, I needed total commitment to my work in order to keep performing. The desire to work at optimum capacity leaves hardly any room for anything else. With this total commitment and single-mindedness, the SLV-3 dream was finally realized in the middle of 1979. We had scheduled the first experimental flight trial of SLV-3 for the 10th of August 1979. The 23-meter-long, four-stage SLV rocket, weighing 17 tons, took off elegantly at 7:58 hours. Stage 1 performed to perfection. There was a smooth transition from this stage to the second stage. We were spellbound to see our hopes flying in the form of SLV-3. Suddenly, the spell was broken. The second stage went out of control. The flight was terminated after 317 seconds, and the vehicle's remains, including my favorite fourth stage with the payload, splashed into the sea, 560 kilometers off Sriharikota. The incident caused us profound disappointment. I felt a strange mix of anger and frustration. Completely drained, mentally as well as physically, I went straight to my room and slumped onto the bed. A gentle touch on my shoulder woke me up. It was late in the afternoon, almost approaching evening. I saw Dr. Brahm Prakash sitting by my bedside. I was deeply touched by his affection and concern. I was sad, but not alone. A post-flight review established that the mishap occurred because of the failure of the second stage control system. Everybody was convinced by the technical cause and effect sequence presented, and there was a general feeling of satisfaction about the whole exercise of failure management measures taken. I was still unconvinced, though, and felt restless. On the spur of the moment, I stood up and addressed Professor Dhawan. "Sir, even though my friends have technically justified the failure, I take the responsibility for judging the RFNA leak detected during the final phase of countdown as insignificant. As a mission director, I therefore take responsibility for the SLV-3 failure." The pursuit of science is a combination of great elation and great despair. I went over many such episodes in my mind. The idea that a man could land on the moon, developed by a Russian mathematician, was realized after nearly four decades, and by the United States at that. Professor Chandrasekhar had to wait nearly 50 years before receiving the Nobel Prize for his discovery of the Chandrasekhar limit, a discovery made while he was a graduate student at Cambridge in the 1930s. How many failures must von Braun have gone through before his Saturn launch vehicle put man on the moon? To live only for some unknown future is superficial. It's like climbing a mountain to reach the peak without experiencing its sides. The sides of the mountain sustain life, not the peak. This is where things grow, experience is gained, and technologies are mastered. The importance of the peak lies only in the fact that it defines the sides. I went in little steps, just one step after another, but each step towards the top.